It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
The Word of God is saying, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If your enemy thirsty, give him something to drink. When you do something like that, the Word of God says, don't overcome with evil, but overcome with good. If you are not born again, child of God, if you do not love the Lord, you will never do what this scripture says. But once you are sold out to Jesus Christ, then you will love your enemy. Book of Luke, chapter 6.
But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
See what he's saying? If you do these things, you will be children of the Highest. What does it mean? The children of God. So we are the children of God, and let the whole world know that we are belong to Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do? We will love people and we'll find their needs and we are going to supply their needs. So as a Christian brother and sister, when you're walking on the street, when you're looking at somebody, they can see your eyes and they can find out you are a born-again child of God. You don't have to stare at people. We don't have to be angry at people. We don't have to push people around. That way people can see this person is something different. We are the children of God, and we want to win people by love of God. Let's read verse 36.
Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
Now here is saying, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Who is our Father? Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father is merciful. Heavenly Father is love. The Word of God says God is love and God is merciful. God is holy. Let's read the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Here he says, our God is a holy God.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
See, it is written, he says, in the book of Leviticus it's written, our God is a holy God, so he said, be ye holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he says, be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
So what the command is, be merciful, be loving, and be holy, and be perfect. Somebody says, it's impossible. We cannot be perfect, we cannot be holy, we cannot be merciful, because it is impossible. Yes, it is impossible for worldly people, but it's not impossible for us. Because God is love, and once you receive the love of God in your heart, means receive Jesus Christ, who is the model of love, you're going to love. When Jesus Christ, who is merciful and kind, when he's inside of you, you will be merciful. You will be kind to others. And Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. You trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that blood has power to cleanse your sins and make you holy. So the blood of Jesus Christ makes us righteous in the sight of God. So how can be righteous? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Word of God says, we can be righteous. When we are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Father sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and what the Father says, you are not guilty, you are not sinner. What does it mean? You are perfect. We are perfect in Christ. Without Christ, we cannot be perfected. But in Christ, we are perfect. Sinless, without sin. That's why we are able to go to heaven. Otherwise, no one will be able to go to heaven. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 37.
Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
He says, judge not, so you shall not be judged. But somebody says, a Christian people should not be judging. And other people said, you are judgmental. And so we should not be judging others when, if you are doing the same thing. If you are smoking, you cannot tell somebody don't smoke. If you are drinking, you cannot tell somebody not to drink. But here we'll see, the Word of God is saying, if you have a log or beam in your eyes, how can you will be able to see some little bit dust in your brother's eyes? So what he's trying to say, take the beam out, then you will be able to see any dust in your brother's eyes and you can take it and help him. First of all, you have to be holy. First of all, you have to be perfect. Then you can tell somebody to do the same. That is not judgmental. If I'm not drinking and I say somebody, please don't drink, then I could say, I used to drink and I had a lot of problems and now God gave me grace, now I'm free, so that's why I'm trying to save your life and your family's life. So that's not judgmental. So another thing he says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. People do not forgive people. Some people say, I cannot forgive that person. If you don't forgive that person, then the Word of God says you will not be forgiven. If you need forgiveness, then you have to learn to forgive others. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. It's very interesting. He says, when you go to church or go to the temple or go to the serve the Lord, and even though you're bringing offering to God, God is not looking at your offering. What God is looking at your heart. If your heart is not right, and if you're giving offering, God is not taking that offering. Book of Matthew chapter 5, starting from verse 22. So here we see, you bringing the offering to God, God looks at your heart. Now just think, if you're giving somebody $10,000 and even though you're a murderer, they are not going to say, I don't need your money.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
See, what God is saying, go back to your brother. Ask him forgiveness. And then you come back, and I'll take the offering. So what God needs? Your heart, not your money. God has everything. He wants your heart. You go to chapter 6 and start reading from verse 14 and 15.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
He says, if you don't forgive the people who did wrong to you, then God is not going to forgive you also. If somebody wants to go to heaven, they have to learn here to forgive your enemies. Forgive your mother, father, brother, or co-workers, or anybody did anything wrong to you. Please do not hold the grudge. If you hold the grudge, what happens? You get sick. You get arthritis. You get some diseases. And there are so many diseases are there, the person who doesn't forgive others. And so forgiveness is must. You have to forgive others, otherwise God is not forgiving you. And go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. There are people, hypocrites. They can fast and pray, but in their prayer, they are not asking people to forgive them. God to forgive them. They are taking grudge and they're thinking, if I fast and pray, God will bless me. No, God is not going to bless you until you forgive. Now, we don't have time to read in book of Mark, chapter 11. You should be reading from verse 22 to 26. I'll give you in a nutshell, then you know. He says, if you want to move the mountains, you will tell the mountain, be thou removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, it will be moved. And if you, whatever you believe, it will happen to you. Sounds good. But read verse 25 and 26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
See what he's trying to say. When you stand for prayer, want to move the mountains, you want so many things from God and you're praying for those things. And he says, well, you're asking me to forgive you. You're asking me to do miracle for you. But you did not forgive your enemies or brother or sister or whoever. Forgive them first. Then God will hear your prayer. God is not going to answer our prayer. We say, God, hear my prayer, and you don't want to listen to God. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and verse 9, it says, if you don't listen to God and you pray, your prayer will be what? Abomination. God doesn't want to hear you. Proverbs 28, verse 9 and 13.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
If you do not listen to God, your prayer is abomination. Verse 13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See, if you did something wrong to somebody, you should forgive. But he says, well, God is not going to find out. Let me ask God to bless me. He said, no, if you cover your sin, if you don't listen to God, if you don't confess your sins, and don't forsake your sins, God is not going to have mercy on you. So when you come to God to prayer, what you do first? Check your heart. If there is anything against God, if there is anything I'm praying and is not answered, that means something is wrong. The healing, financial blessings, or any other things you want, you're not going to get until you clear up your heart. You have to say, Lord, if there is anything in my heart, search and find out, and I want to get rid of those sins. Then God will have mercy on you. Then God will hear your prayer. Luke 6, verse 38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
See what he say? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When you give it to God, this is not saying give it to other people. Giving to God. When you're giving to God, what God says, I'm going to give back. But how God does, he says, you give it to God, and God inspires people to give it to you. God doesn't throw from the heaven. He inspires people to give. So when you give it to God, when you do the good things for God, God inspires more people to giving to you. Let's read that verse one more time. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And then he says, for with the same measure that you measure, and that same measure, you're going to get it back. And so, when you give it somebody with a good heart, with a good desire, then God will give it to you the same way. God says, do you give this kind of gift to your boss, or give the mayor, or governor, or king, like a dead animal, or sick animal, or worthless things? If you need a good measure pressed down, running over, and people should give it to you, then you measure with a good measure. If you use the wrong measure, then you are not going to get back. And people saying, I'm giving my tithes and I did not get anything. Think, did you give your tithe properly? Or did you give just to please God? There was a one lady, I was watching the program. She said, I lost all my money. I have $20,000 debts. And now here remaining $7 in her checking account. She was talking to some Christian brother. And the Christian brother says, sister, do you give your tithes to God? She said, yes, I give it. How much? Maybe 5%, 2%, something like that. He said, give to the Lord 10% at least. or more. She said, I have only $7 remaining. She wrote $7 check. Today, she said, my $20,000 debt is gone, and I paid up my house, and I have more, and now I give more than 10%. You have to start somewhere. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19.
If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
If you are willingly do good, and then you have plenty in the land. That means you have everything. Verse 39.
And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?
2,000 years ago, they didn't have the devices we have it today. Here, spiritually, Jesus Christ is talking. He's just giving a physical example, but he's giving a spiritual example also. He's talking about the people who are spiritually blind. The spiritually blind people are also called the spiritually dead people. The spiritually blind people, they don't know anything about God. They cannot see God with their spirit. They cannot understand the godly thing. And so if somebody wants to know more about God and they start asking the person who doesn't know anything about God, the both people can go to hell. So that's what he says. If the blind leader start leading somebody, spiritually blinded person, they will all fall into ditch. If somebody wants to teach somebody about a spiritual matter, that person has to be born again. That person has to know God. Otherwise, blind person cannot lead blind. If they start leading the blind person, both of them will fall into ditch. That's what Jesus Christ is giving a parable. Let's read the verse 40. Luke chapter 6, verse 40.
The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master.
Now here another example he's giving. If there is a master and there are students learning from the master, master can only teach whatever he knows. And if somebody, the student, very keen and he wants to learn, then he can learn whatever the master knows. He cannot know more than a master. Whatever the master teaches, that's what he can get. So he's trying to say, at least try to learn from your master. You remember the people used to call Jesus Christ good master, good teacher. So the Jesus Christ was the good master, good teacher. Why he's saying this? Because there are Pharisees. They were thinking they are good masters. They were thinking they are good leaders, but they were blind. Luke chapter 6, verse 41.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye.
Now here is another example he is giving. He is saying if somebody has a beam, he says, how can somebody has a big log going to find the small dust in somebody's eyes? So in short, he's saying, take that log out, means whatever the problem you have, you take your problem out, take your sin out, take your whatever the wrong thing you're doing, put it aside. Then you will be able to help your brother. When I correct my life, when I live clean and holy life by the grace of God, then I can say I was a bad person, just like you, but Jesus helped me. He can help you too. So that's why Jesus Christ is saying we have to have some holiness, some grace from God, then we will be able to help somebody else. Luke 6:43.
For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes.
Now, here also he is giving another example. A good tree brings good fruit. the bad tree brings bad fruit. So what he's trying to say, if you are good, then you are going to produce good fruits. And then he says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. Now he says, you cannot gather the grapes from the thorny tree. And he says, you cannot take the figs from the bramble bush. Bush with the thorns and thistles, a small bush. You cannot take anything good from that bush. Like figs are very soft and good. So in short, he's trying to say, good fruits produced by good tree. So how can we know the tree? By fruits. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. So good tree produce good fruits. And the verse 45 is the same example. Luke 6:45.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
He's saying a good man takes out the good things from his good treasure because his heart has to be good. There is a saying, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you take in, that comes out. If the person is godly, listening to the word of God, studying the word of God, preaching the good things, the good things will come out of his heart. Evil people, always thinking evil, but what he's trying to say, where are these things are coming? Those things are coming from heart. The man's heart is deceitful. Man's heart is evil. Every person born into this world, they think they are good, but they are all evil. Why? Because the word of God says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So each and every person born into this world, they might be highly educated, they might be living in a palace, they might be very knowledgeable, but their heart is corrupt. How the person's heart can be changed? Only by the word of God. The word of God says, our heart is like a stone, our heart is evil, but God changes the heart and he gives us the soft heart. He can change our heart only way when you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we are born again. We are born from heaven. Now our life is transformed. When you have good hearts, good things comes from your mouth. Luke chapter 6, verse 46.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
What the word of God is saying, Jesus saying, when I say something, you don't listen to me. And then you say, Lord, Lord. From verse 47.
Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like.
One person comes to Jesus Christ, listen to him and obey him, and that person is like building his house on the rock. Let's read.
He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
The person who listens to me, and person who does according to my will, that person is like a building his house on the solid rock. Our rock is Christ. So the word of God says our foundation should be on the solid rock. The doctrine of Christ and the teaching of Christ is given by apostles and prophets. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, let's read from verse 20 to 22.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
See, our foundation is built upon Christ and built upon the apostles and prophet. Any church can build with a silver, gold, or precious stone. Precious stones will never tarnish. Gold always purified with the fire, and silver also the same way. When you build your building with a precious stone, silver and gold will last forever. So if you do not build your church on the foundation of Christ, build your church on a hay, wood, or sand, it will vanish away or will have great fall. That's why Jesus Christ gave the example. There are people building the houses on the rock, and some of them are building on the sand. So where is our foundation? This is that some people do not listen to the word of God. Go to the Malachi chapter 1 verse 6.
A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?
See, here it is saying, if a real son will obey his father, and the servant will obey his master. Now, it says, you say to me, Lord, Lord, right? We just read it. If you say to me, Lord, Lord, and you don't listen to my father or my saying, then you will be like a house built on the sand. And so point I'm making, we are the children of God, so our foundation should be solid. We should be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. The point I'm making, my foundation is laid on the solid rock. Nobody can shake me and change my thinking, because I have learned the word of God, studied the word of God. That's why Jesus Christ says, if you listen to me and if you obey me, you will be like a man who built his house on the rock. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We did not bring anything into this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. Whatever you have given to us is all yours. In this world, we have trials and tribulations and problems. When we come to you, when we pray, we check our heart. If our heart is condemning, then we will not have confidence towards God. So give us grace to check our heart. Give us grace to forgive one another. Give us grace to love one another. Give us grace to find out who has the need. Be with us, sanctify us, use us mightily for the glory of God. Let our life shine. Let the whole world see that we are called by your name and we are belong to Jesus Christ. Give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.